blank on what it was. I'm so sorry. Emma, do you
know? I just, that was a comment. That's so fine. Thank you. You've helped. This is very helpful. Because I think one of the problems that exists is I try to get a particular group to get their members to sign up, and they said, well, why should they sign up when by March 2023 the service isn't going to be offered and people don't have the money to sign up for the monthly service? I just think all of us out on this board and everywhere have to really push people to sign up and encourage them, because this is a lifeline. This is nothing trivial.
I would counter that, yes, there is a reason to be fearful to depend on something that might not be permanent, but in the same breath, if you don't depend on it and use it and show not only BSBE, but DOT and the Connecticut Transportation Institute that you are using it, it has no chance of being permanent.
Right.
I'd like to present a scenario, if I can, to see how Byron would be helpful to someone in my particular circumstance. Say I'm riding the bus at night, and of course the lights are on inside, which makes it very difficult to see and address outside. Would Byron be helpful to me in that regard?
Yeah, so I'm going to paint a picture of what the agent sees on the agent dashboard when you are in session with an agent, and a few different ways that you could use it. Perhaps at that exact moment, you are not confident that you know where you are on your route. It could be a call that you make on the bus to the agent, and it's simply when you call Ira, they answer the phone the same time, every time. Thank you for calling Ira. This is Marty. What would you like to do today? Your task would be that you're looking for confirmation of what's the next or the next three or next five upcoming stops. That could be an in-the-moment call, or it could be that you like hearing the stops announced and the bus is crowded and the audio system isn't working great. And so you sit down in your seat as you're on that bus and you call the agent. You let them know, here's the bus I'm on. Here's the direction I'm traveling. Here's where I'm going. Just call out the stops as I pass them. So it could be a 25-minute phone call. All the agent is doing is keeping you aware of where you are, what that next and upcoming stop is. So it can be a 30-second call, it could be a 30-minute call. What's important is that it's on your terms, when and where you need it, giving you the information, how you want it, and how long you want it.
Marty, what
does it take?
Excuse me, Marty, what does it take to sign up for the program?
So literally all you do is you download the app, which is available in the App Store from Apple or in the Play Store from Google. It's a free app to install. There's benefits that I'll share just by having the app installed outside of this pilot. You install the app. When you open it for the first time, it's going to ask for access to GPS so that we can see where you are. It's going to ask access to your camera and to your microphone so that the agent can see stream video and so you can have a two-way conversation. When you open the app for the first time, we ask you to register your phone number. That creates your account. So you type in your phone number. In 1 second, we send you a text message. In that text message is a link. You click that link. You are now logged into the app. Within the app, if you are not a subscriber, we have what's called access offers. And so you don't have to pay IRA any money. You can search through all our access offers, which really are our B2B partnerships, right? So Bank of America has an access offer. Target has an access offer. Starbucks has an access offer. All these places offer our service for free. You would search for, in the list of access offers, CT. And you would see the State of Connecticut pilot. You would apply that offer. It will be available for you to apply every other time you call, so you won't have to search for it ever again. When you apply that offer, it enables your call. It's as if you have a subscription, because enabling that offer in the state of Connecticut means that all of your calls to IRA are free. After you make your first call, the IRA agent is going to heavily suggest that you take the survey. So the prerequisite to using this is that you do need to take that survey. And the reason is that if we don't have your survey data, we have no story to go back and tell. We have no research as part of our research project. So that survey piece is key. I estimate it would take somewhere between 5 and 15 minutes. The agent takes the survey for you. You're sitting there on that call. They call up the survey on the screen. They read the questions to you. They read the answers. They enter your answers in. It's anonymous. And so that piece is critical. So knowing that your participation requires that, you have to take that survey. And then after you take the survey, you're free to make as many calls as you want after that, as long as you need whatever you need before.
What happens to my data once I share them with Ira?
Can you be specific as to what you mean by data?
Like my location data, identification, where I am, where I'm going while I'm using the app?
Your location data, you don't have to give us access to GPS. I guess in your specific example, if you had given us access to GPS, we would see you as a moving blue dot on Google Maps in the agent dashboard. So there is some value to that, but you don't have to. If you disable access to GPS, you won't know when you're in another access location. So if you went to the airport and flew to Boston and wanted to go into a Target or a Starbucks in Boston, not having GPS enabled, we don't know if you're inside of that geofence. So like there's some good reasons to do it. There's no other persistent data that's stored within the app other than your username. There's no other information that we collect unless you voluntarily choose to share it with us. So over time, the agent might ask you, what's your last name? What's your email address? Sometimes there's things the agents find for you that you want them to share with you or send to you over email. They may do a piece of research online for you, and they can actually send that content to you. So there's some other reasons why you would voluntarily furnish that information, but it's certainly not a requirement.
So the record that's created by doing all, any of those things on the app, where does that go?
So you have a profile within the app, that's really just going to show your name, if you have a subscription, if you do, how many minutes are left on your subscription. The other type of profile data that you're talking about, it's not surfaced within the app, it's saved within your profile within Iris system. So like you might say, Agent Marty, you just gave me directions using north, south, east, and west. I prefer left, right, up and down. So we would save some of your specific kind of contextual preferences in your profile. You don't see those within the app.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Marty, this is Catherine. I do have a question. Is there a time when information of ours would be shared with another party?
No.
Okay, that's good.
Any other questions for Marty?
No, I have one. Just one observation to share. This is Lori from BESVI Volunteer Program. So we had our monthly support group in the building last Wednesday, and they did attempt a group sign-in, and there were probably 20 people in the room, including consumers and then maybe a couple of companions, and they did have at least one successful all the way through opportunity where we enrolled one person at that moment. The others, for various reasons, had limited success. Some of them had hearing impairments that made it difficult in that setting for them to complete the process. But pretty much everybody left there saying they were going to go home and do it. So hopefully that will bear some fruit for you. And I'm wondering if maybe we get the contact information for the other support groups that don't meet with us. Maybe they can do something similar. And then there is the Southeast Community Center in Eileen. They moved. I don't know where they are anymore. Do you know?
Yes, I do. But they have resisted doing this, and that's that's one group I've got to get back to. I can tell you all about them. In fact, I'm going to be the keynote speaker at their 50th anniversary on Monday.
Oh, I'm curious as to what their objection is to using the service.
That as of March, it could all go away and people would not be able to afford keeping up the service.
I can't guarantee that I won't go away tomorrow. I mean, it seems short-sighted to...
I agree with you.
Have that particular attitude.
I'm going to be back again about that. Thank you.
Good. Then we appreciate that effort.
Lori, I will also offer up, if anyone wouldn't mind being contacted directly by myself or other members of the IRA team to help them with downloading and installing and making their first call, I'm more than willing to outreach directly if they would not be opposed to it. So, yeah, please let me know if that's a possibility.
We do have a couple of clients that this you know that are presenting at one of our events on their experience with IRA. We have, I think, three individuals coming and speaking to a group in honor of National Employment Disability Awareness Month. Kind of coincides with Blind Americans Equality Day, which is the former White Cane Safety Day. So. I just wanted to let you know, I don't know if you guys knew that, but they're going to talk about their experiences and, you know, how it's helped them. So all three are working, so they'll talk about their experience on the job and different things. So just wanted to share that with you. I don't know if we told you that, but.
I have one more thing, too, for you, Marty. You know, our experience with other programs like CRIS Radio, which is the, you know, Connecticut Radio Information Service, and we used to have a group called Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic. They expanded their services to people who had disabilities that were not necessarily blindness, but perhaps, you know, someone with a disability for reading or, you know, something else that made things difficult for them. So would your service eventually branch out to people who perhaps had issues with reading as opposed to just being not reading because they're blind?
Yes, I think, I guess I want to make sure I speak clearly in that we don't externally market that because first and foremost, we're designed, our agents are trained knowing how to provide service for people who are blind or low vision versus having perhaps some other cognitive impairments or challenges. That being said, those calls come in more frequently than we would expect. Agents love to say yes and love to do whatever they can to provide the information relevant to that person. So, you know, we hear that agents are fielding calls from people who do have issues with reading print, all the way through to, you know, athletes within universities who are out on concussion protocols who aren't supposed to be reading. So I think there's a handful of other very relevant use cases. We're not externally messaging that yet, but those calls are calls that we do support.
Oh, interesting. Thank you.
I'll also share, just because you talked about what's coming up for National Disability Employment Awareness Month. So EDU and employers are our two fastest growing segments, right? So schools are beating down our door with more and more students being remote, and kind of they walk that fine line with does their voc rehab or blindness services agency provide that as an accommodation, or does the school? And so we have those discussions every single day of the week. And then employers, right? Our fastest growing employer is Amazon, hiring hundreds of people who are blind or low vision in highly technical warehouse environments. And so I think I would just continue to encourage everyone when thinking about what tools belong in someone's quiver, IRA is just one of many. So we're looking to kind of to create our seat at that at table, seeing as how we are new.
Excellent. Any further questions for Marty?
I just wanted to make a quick comment. This is Emma Peterson from Department of Transportation.
Sure, go ahead.
I just wanted to share, you know, I'm here in a, I've been in a supporting role for the IRA pilot program. I'm really here today in a listening capacity, and I just wanted to thank everyone for their great questions and comments, and just honesty about how they feel about the program, because it's this type of dialogue that helps us make these pivots and create a program where it's as easily accessible for people as possible. So just wanted to thank everyone for sharing, and just really hope you take advantage of this opportunity. Thank you.
Thanks, Emma. Anybody have any questions for Emma?
No, Marty, Stephen from Chris Radio, you and I did the interview.
Yes.
I'm going to be doing a moderator for the Bristol, Town of Bristol and Transit District on October 1st. So we will be distributing copies in Braille and in large print to the group.
That's great. I certainly appreciate it. Yeah, any way we can create awareness is just tremendous. So thank you.
Thank you.
Anything further for Marty and Emma? I want to thank you both for coming today. This discussion has been very helpful, and it's given me some insight as to how IRA can be helpful to me. So I, for one, will complete the registration process with the app and look forward to using it in the near future.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, thanks for coming.
Thanks
so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, with that, our next item is Eileen's report on the Employment and Training Group. So, Eileen, you have the floor.
Thank you. I'm just going to read this report and maybe make a couple of external comments. Employment and Training Workgroup members' best rival, Eileen Akers, primary focus, a more informed understanding of the operation and structure of BEDS Vocational Rehabilitation, VR, beyond the time that can be spent at a board meeting. Meetings were held on August 18th and September 6th. Thanks and appreciation to all who participated, including VR Supervisor Mary Burgard for coordination and information, and to Charlotta Copenhagen, Transition Coordinator, Jonathan Richmond, Counselor Coordinator, as well as to VR Counselors Jonathan Alberto, Angelo Vitale, and Ineda Mendoza. Special thanks to Zachary Moore for setting up our meetings. As reported by Mary Burgard, currently there are one VR State Director vacant, one VR Supervisor, one VR Counselor Coordinator, 9 VR Counselors, 2 vacant, 3 Rehabilitation Teachers, 1 vacant, 1 Transition Coordinator, 2 Clerical, 1 vacant, 1 Quality Control Reviewer. The Transition Age Students Program was the focus of the first meeting. The Transition Program consists of a supervisor and 2 counselors. 1 counselor position needs to be refilled. Although some preliminary work can begin at age 14, focus begins at age 16. Interaction continues with students through the first year of college. Paid summer employment has included many remote positions where tasks are clearly delineated. Peer interaction is another benefit. Training and employment was the focus of the meeting on September 6th. A majority of BEDS clients are not part of the system beginning with Children's Services, but are newly registered clients focusing on maintaining or finding new employment. There are several categories of vision loss. Clients come in through adult services. The process includes different types of assessments. Examples may include trial work experience, and one-to-one or group support. The IPE is a roadmap which is necessarily highly individualized and can always be modified. Regarding the issue of staff training, it was indicated that familiarity with people who are legally blind or visually impaired before being employed by BSBE may often occur through American Job Centers. These centers also have adaptive technology where technology skills can be practiced. Partnerships with Computers for the Blind in Texas have been established. Remote computer training was also noted. There are clients who have appropriate technology prior to acquiring employment. Acquisition of assistive technology can be a deal breaker when placing a prospective employee. There is adherence to a fine line in job development referencing the ADA. In describing how computer training is essential for most jobs, the BEP program was cited as an example. BSBE has replenished supplies to make it possible for some locations to reopen. This includes some college sites. Other sites are closed forever because there is not enough foot traffic. Because most state agencies are operating as hybrid, foot traffic is limited. Some BEP sites have done very well. Furthermore, some operators are overseeing two or three smaller locations, including micro markets. Addressing the area of manufacturing jobs, Mary referred to staff attendance at MASK out of Waterbury and how our folks can fit into that model. However, automation in manufacturing jobs was noted. Another topic was the duration of residential training to help people who are blind develop a set of non-visual skills and techniques, as well as achieving emotional adjustment to blindness. Although there is no longer a 12-week restriction, most programs are shorter than they used to be. Nevertheless, training could last for 9 months. Preliminary recommendations. 1. Staff. Given the enhanced scope of the transition program, in order for this program to be effective, the position of transition counselor must be filled as soon as possible. Because an overwhelming majority of employment positions require knowledge of technology, it is imperative to have adequate BSBE staff to provide technology training and employment follow-up. Currently, there are 2 technologists on staff. VR is down 1 technologist. It is an urgent need to make every effort to rush positions through. Meanwhile, contracting out needs to continue and perhaps increase. The need for adequate VR field staff cannot be overstated. In tandem with the highly individualized nature of each situation, trust is at the core of how effectively a client and a VR staff member can work together to achieve a meaningful outcome. Short staffing in the northern part of the state was noted. Priority is urged to meet staffing needs. That was the first recommendation. Second recommendation. We recommend a report to this board of job placements annually at each December meeting to include a brief job description, also noting the visual status of each client placed, that is, totally blind, legally blind, visually impaired, or visually impaired progressive. Next recommendation. In summary, because of the special needs of people dealing with lack of vision, the integrity of BSBE must be fully supported, including adequate staffing to fulfill the mission of this bureau. 4, this work group should continue to function to further study training and employment, including implementation of the VR state plan. I'm done. Thank you for listening to me. apologies to any mess ups that I included in my report.
Eileen, could I just say thank you?
Excellent and thoroughgoing report, Eileen. I'm sorry, Zach. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say thank you. But since you read what you had written, could you please submit that report to me so I can include it in the minutes?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Are you one step ahead of me, Zach? Thank you.
No, thank you.
All right. So we know this committee is in excellent hands, and I want to ask if anybody has any questions for Eileen.
No, great job.
Thank you.
Indeed. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. And by all means, please keep up the good work. This is terrific. This is just the kind of thing we had in mind when we established these work groups. Any other questions before I move on to the next topic? All right, hearing none. Go ahead. Steve.
I just had a question. I had 2 points that I didn't put into my report. Can I do it sometime during the meeting so it gets into the report?
Without objection, I would have you do them now.
Okay, there are 2 other points I wanted to bring out. One is Mark Rafferty created an information sheet for each provider, low vision provider. So that's currently being reviewed by the committee, and once it's been approved, we will use this information to share with the staff if they need it. That'll be, you know, a website, you know, the basic contact information so that people can get to the provider very quickly. The second thing is, another thing that we considered was the possibility of looking at having a low vision provider back at the agency in Besby. As some of you know, many years ago we had that, where the rehab teacher and O&M instructor, social worker could meet with the person as well. So those are the 2 things that I wanted to add, and thank you.
Those are both excellent suggestions. Thank you for providing that report. We have one other work group report with regard to education. I don't think we had quite settled on the membership of that, so I'd like to defer discussion on that to, I'd like to schedule a special meeting next month just so we can discuss the education work group. Without objection, now I'd like to continue on to the schedule for next year. I believe you have all received an email outlining what the prospective schedule is. And as soon as I get my copy here, I'm going to recite it. Here we are. So the proposed meeting dates for next year are as follows. 16 March. These are all on Thursdays, approximately the third Thursday of the month. 15 June, the 21st of September, and the 14th of December. The 14th of December is the only exception to the third Thursday. It is on the second Thursday because the third Thursday falls uncomfortably close to the holiday for some, so I thought we'd just schedule it for 14th December. Having announced the date for next year's meeting, I would like to ask for a motion to adopt that schedule.
Eileen Akers, so moved.
Can I have a motion to adopt? Can I have a second, please?
Randa Utter, second.
Thank you, Randa. We have a second from Randa Utter. Any discussion? Does anybody feel as if they have conflicts with those dates? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have an adopted meeting schedule for next year. Thank you all.
Chairman, this is Catherine Guzman. I'm going to need to leave a little bit early, so I just wanted to let you know.
Okay, let me just have a quick look at the agenda to see if we need anything that needs our approval. Actually, I think even after we leave, we will still have a quorum. Thank you for letting me know, Catherine.
Thank you.
And as always, thank you for coming. We really appreciate your
Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Yeah, feel better.